Why don't you look again this morning in verse 12 of this text. You'll notice a very familiar memorial set up by Samuel in honor of God and his great faithfulness. Verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now the reason that I have been led, I believe, to speak from this text today goes all the way back to 1988. And specifically to the first year anniversary message that I preached at the end of that year, a message from this very text in which we all rejoiced back then in the faithfulness of God and then anticipated His faithfulness in the coming year, 1989. In fact, it was in that message that I challenged all of us to remember Ebenezer and to recognize that God is always faithful. 10 years after that, in 1998, I referred again back to that text, and then 10 years after that, in 2008, I did so again. In fact, it was at the very end of that message in March of 2008 that I specifically said that in 10 years from now, in 2018, let's all take time and look back and remember the Ebenezer of God's faithfulness to us. In view of that, I had asked our PA guys if they could locate the very first mention of Ebenezer in that 1988 message, and we found it, and Jeff took off a small clip as requested. Now, of course, this was 30 years ago. I still had a little southern twang, and I sound a little bit like Andy, to be honest with you. And the recording's a little scratchy, but here are the last words, the last sentence that I gave to a very small group of folks in the original building on Center Street in 1988.
Heretofore, the Lord has helped us. Ladies and gentlemen, 1989. The Lord will help us again. And next year at this time, December the 25th, Christmas Day night, I want you to remember this sermon and look back on 1989 and say, you know something? He helped me through it again. Face the year with faith.
Now clearly, a lot of things have changed in the past 30 years. And obviously, 1989. Of course, things change in 30 years, and that's precisely why the promise and the picture of Ebenezer is so very powerful in the Word of God. You see, folks, the word Ebenezer probably doesn't mean exactly what you think it means. If it says in your margin, the stone of help, well, that's not wrong, but it's not complete either. The Hebrew word uses an article between both of the words so that it literally means the stone of the help. In other words, it's not just a stone of some nondescript help. It's not just a stone of a random incident and so forth, but rather it is the stone of the specific help received in that specific battle, the help of Israel. What that means for us this morning is what I want us to consider very carefully as we speak on this subject, hitherto and henceforth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and as we sang moments ago, the two great hymns I've been thinking about all week long, "Here I Raise My Ebenezer," and "Great is Thy Faithfulness." As we think about your faithfulness and this Ebenezer, speak to our hearts, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Three things I want us to consider this morning from Samuel's act of worship and his placing this stone between Mizpah and Shin. Three things you'll notice the stone itself represents. And the first one, number one, is a stone of precedent. In other words, this was a memorial stone. This was a stone of remembrance. Look again at verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what the word hitherto means? Hitherto means very simply up until this point. I want you to look back at chapter 4 because it's very important for us to remember the kind of situation that the people of God had placed themselves and put themselves in that required God's help in the first place. 1 Samuel 4 verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Verse 21. She named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed." This is when her husband was slain, of course. "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." You see, folks, it was because of Israel's idolatry and foolishness and rebellion against God that these brutal Philistines won this victory in the first place. So that now their high priest, Eli, is dead and gone. His two sons, the priests, Hophni and Phinehas, are also dead and gone. And the Ark of the Covenant has been stolen by the Philistines. And if that's not bad enough, look at chapter 5 and verse 1. "And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon." Can you imagine? Can you imagine the mercy seat, the holiest thing in Israel? Can you imagine that where the pillar of fire and God's very present used to rest, the Ark of the Covenant itself is now placed next to an idol that was famous for its evil and its violence and its perversion? The glory of God is departed, yes, but it's not just Ichabod. That glory is also defiled and defamed and disparaged. I must say, much in the same way in our own nation with its pulpits and its approach to life in the womb and this sacred book. And of course, the blasphemy of putting the mercy seat next to Dagon led the Philistines into a truly humiliating judgment. The Philistines thought it was cute to trifle with the glory of God. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools make a mock at sin." Think about that the next time you listen to academia or Hollywood mock. It's fun for some people to engage in sacrilege and mocking God. They call it comedy. But God sent a plague on the worshipers of Dagon, a painful plague that we'll just call tumors for today. But you know the story. And so it is that these little boy in my class years ago called them Klingons. These Klingons, these Romulans, these Visigoths and barbarians and Cretans and savages and pillagers. They're under judgment, but they are still dominating and terrorizing the people of God. You see chapter 7 again. Notice what it says in verse 2. It says there in verse 2 that for 20 years, this continued even after the ark was returned. And you know what? It would have continued for even longer, except that the people of God finally came to their senses. Look at verse 3. "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods from Ashtaroth, from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." You know, folks, the Christian life, that is, a life of blessing and peace and fruitfulness, all of our trials and tribulations notwithstanding. But a blessed life is really a lot simpler. In fact, it's a whole lot simpler than a lot of Christians want to make it out to be. Just do what you know is right. Pleasing God and getting his blessing because of that is not rocket science. It didn't take God's people 20 years to figure out what to do. It just took them 20 years to do it. All they had to do was simple. Pastor, I just don't know what to do with my rebellious, disrespectful, and ungodly kids. Well, start by eliminating all that rebellious and disrespectful and ungodly media and music that you accompany. And the parents look at me when I say things like that, and they laugh. And they say, but really. And I'm like, but really. It's that simple. You know, one of the things that highlights how simple it is to trust and obey is precedent. It's history. It's the past. Samuel said, hitherto, up until this point, all the way back as far as you can see, with Moses and Abraham and before, hitherto the Lord has helped us. In other words, you have all of this history. And that history shows how faithful God is in being our help and our helper whenever we humbly seek his face. We said earlier that a lot of changes can occur in just 1 year, much less 10 or 20. And not just physical changes. You know, everybody sounds different. Everybody looks different with time. So, Pastor, you need to get in shape. Actually, round is a shape. Amen? So, lay off. This is the Bible that I used the last time I preached from this text. And sure enough, here in the margin, I wasn't sure, so I grabbed it and I looked it up. And right there in the margin, I wrote 2008. Say, Pastor, why don't you still use that Bible? You see the difference between this Bible and this Bible? I can't see this Bible. This tiny little text. And probably if you'll watch a few years, my new Bible will span this entire pulpit. Every page will be a word. Everything changes with the passing of time. Except for the presence and the power and the promises of God. The type may change, but his truth never changes. And yes, the hitherto of Samuel's Ebenezer, that great stone, was an invitation for them to look back and to remember all of the victories and all the miracles and all the blessings. They didn't happen every day, but they happened every time they came and needed one from God. Remember, he says, when you were delivered and helped and strengthened and provided for. Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail, but one still loves and cares for you. Jesus never fails. Joshua looked back and he said, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Ebenezer is a reminder that his grace is always sufficient. For some in this room, his grace was sufficient in the 20s and the 30s in the Great Depression. How was that, Brother Sam? Was that a rough time? For some, his grace was sufficient way back in the 1940s in time of war. And I see the Johnstons here and others. For some, his grace was sufficient in the 50s, and it was great prosperity in this nation. And then in the 60s and 70s, a time of turmoil. In the 80s and the 90s, when there was great change and uncertainty in our country. His grace was sufficient after Y2K, and it was sufficient after 9/11. And whether it's Obama or Trump or Castro or Chavez or Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il, doesn't matter if it's Philistines or ISIS. Every hitherto is a reminder that you have come this far for a reason and by the grace of the living God, which illustrates the second truth in the text. We said, number one, it's a stone of precedent, hitherto. I want you to notice number two, it's also a stone of praise. Verse 12 again. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord," notice all capital letters, make no mistake who he's talking about, "hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Notice Samuel did not say, "Hitherto hath our army helped us. Hitherto hath our money helped us. Hitherto hath Moses helped us." In fact, you know what? Even though it was Samuel who was the one who prayed and who made the sacrifice, and God answered that prayer, Samuel didn't say, "Hitherto hath I helped us. You should be glad for my leadership. Someday someone's going to preach famous faithful message on me on a Wednesday night." He didn't say that. He raised his Ebenezer and pointed to the Lord. Because the stone of precedent and remembrance is also the stone of praise and recognition. Let me ask you a question. Who does your Ebenezer point to? Do you have an Ebenezer here and there? In other words, who gets the glory this year for whatever victories God brings into your life, for whatever deliverance you receive at the hand of God? Some of you are here, the Philistines of financial problems attacked your life or your family mercilessly. And yet God provided. He came through for you in ways you could never have imagined, and he provided for you and your family. I wonder if anyone knows it. I wonder if anyone has heard from your mouth or your pen that God receives the glory because you recognized the Lord hath helped you. Other by other, God's grace have seen defeated the Philistines, sin and tragedy and sickness, unemployment, great discouragement, maybe even depression. I ask again, where's your Ebenezer for that? Samuel gave a sacrifice, prayed unto the God, and then set that stone in place. Has God blessed your children? Has God blessed your marriage and your business and your ministry? Where is the stone of recognition that gives God his worthy due? Where's the humble heart of gratitude and praise for all that he has done for you in all the years behind you? I can tell you where it's not. It's not on the lips of a constantly complaining saint of God. It is not demonstrated in the life, a fruitless life, of an unfaithful child of God. It is not in the heart of a bitter Christian. The stone of praise and recognition is only seen in that life of the one who knows and recognizes that all that he is and all that he has and all that he's ever accomplished is by the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God. Every single one of us in this room can look back and we can see in the past the faithfulness of God in our lives. Great is thy faithfulness in all kinds of people. And all kinds of institutions surrounding your little world and all kinds of circumstances want to take credit for the help that you received. And something and somebody will get the credit. Just remember this, only God deserves it. Only he is worthy of it. Just remember that you ought to sing, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." Thankfully, we know his good pleasure. He who hath begun the good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hitherto, all the way from there to here, Samuel said, the Lord hath helped us. It wasn't your talent. It wasn't your money. It wasn't your ability or your title or your position that brought you hitherto. It was him. And if you think it was you, that's why you're afraid of tomorrow. If you think it was your ability or the degrees on your wall, If in some way you have been self-deluded enough into thinking that you're the one who's brought yourself this far, that's why you're afraid of the future. But if you know that it was not titles or position. You know, last week I got an invitation that I've been waiting for my whole life. Not the Masters. I'm here. It's an invitation to join the ancient order of the Templar Knights. Yes, those Templar Knights, the ones with the black berets and the fully lined cape and hood and the Holy Cross, the red one you're familiar with, including a pendant. It's a pendant with a big chain and the words that say, in Oxignav, in Akasa, as you know, means in this sign, conquer. And of course, if I join the chivalric knighted Templars, I'll become Sir James Blaylock. In fact, I have the letter up here. Let me read it, just a portion. James Stuart Blaylock, fraternal greetings. I am writing to you to extend a personal invitation to join the Templar order. You have been chosen. As you know, our country is in a terrible state, and only those men with courage and vision can secure the future for our children. I believe you are such the person. I do too. Becoming a Sir Knight of the Order is a privilege and honor few ever attain, and is a lifelong title and commitment. We view it as a holy office. This is a major decision in your life. We are here to assist in the transition and the creation of a new man. I'm not sure exactly how a Baptist preacher got on the radar of an ancient Catholic military order, but this invitation comes with a parchment scroll and white gloves and a soldier of God medal and everything. I don't know if it includes the sword and the horse, but I'm going to join it if it includes a Ferrari. Someone has to fight the Crusades. Or how about this? How about instead of titles, the creation of a new man, how about instead of titles and position and power and might that's all doomed to fail in the flesh anyway? How about we humbly look to God and do His will and receive His help and then praise His name? He's the only one worthy. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Isn't that true? Well, then it calls for songs of loudest praise. Here I raise my Ebenezer. The stone of the help, it brings us quickly to the last thing in the text. It's a stone of precedent. Number two, it's a stone of praise. Number three, you'll notice it's a stone of promise. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued. Can I ask you a question? Why did Samuel give it that name? He didn't have to do that. But why did he give it that name specifically, the stone of the help? Why be so specific? Well, the reason is simple. Samuel wanted him to see that stone and remember that that stone represented the stone. So that the real message is the God of the hitherto is also the God of the henceforth. In the last line, we'll not play it, but in the last line of that message in 1988, I said, face the year with faith. Well, that year was 1988, 1999. We had only months before endured what was called Black Monday back then, October 28th, 1987. How many remember that? Black Monday. Well, the Sam remembers Black Tuesday back in 1923. That's another story. October 28, 1987, everybody lost their investments. A lot of people lost their jobs. I had just become pastor here, and things just went pew. Michael Dukakis tried to become president of the United States, and soon there would be war in the Gulf, and babies would be born, and grandparents would go to glory, and souls would be saved. and weddings would be conducted. Buildings would be built and missionaries supported, hurricanes and oppositions, and blessings would abound. But with all of it, the God of the hitherto was the God of the henceforth. And guess what? 30 years later, he still is. In fact, right now, I'm going to take my pen and I'm going to write in the margin of this Bible by that verse, 2028. The next 10 years. I'll be old. And while it seems like maybe a long way away, so did 2018 and 2008. But either way, the God of the hitherto, 10 years from now, will still be the God of the henceforth. The question is, for the next year and the next 10, will you follow him? Will you take down the idols of your Ashtaroth and remove them and serve, as Samuel says, him only? And will you trust him? Will you trust him? In these past 30 years, in the last 10 years since we last preached this message, just before coming to this new building, there have been a lot of heartaches and a lot of trials and a lot of temptations. But he has always proven himself strong. His grace has always been sufficient. So will you not trust him based upon the history? And will then you praise him? Give him glory that's due unto his name when he comes through and he becomes the stone of the help for that battle at that time. You know, not all children of God and not all people of God do the simple things that God wants: trust and obey. It's not hard. It's not hard to understand how to follow God when God wants you to follow him. He's given you a whole book in a local church for the edification, the building up of the saints. What's hard, I think, for Christians is just doing it, deciding to do it, loving God more than they love themselves or the world. And so God shows us illustrations in his word of his people, not the Philistines, his people, who need to drop what they're doing and kick out the idols and say, here we are. And then trust him. The God of the hitherto is the God of the henceforth. Great is his faithfulness. Here you should raise your Ebenezer. Hither by his help you've come. If you're here in 2028, I want you to think about the children sitting next to you, where they'll be, how old they'll be. You need God's help. Where will you be? Who knows? Where would I be? Who knows? If the Lord tarries in 2028, and I seriously doubt he will, his coming draweth nigh. But if, will you have been able to say, hitherto the Lord has helped me. I've praised him, and I've served him, and I've followed him, and I've trusted him. Father, bless now the invitation, and I pray that you will receive honor and glory, and that whatever fruit becomes by the decisions made in the hearts of your people, may it give you honor. And Lord, may we always say, here we raise our Ebenezer, because hitherto have you helped us. You have helped us, and you are the God of the henceforth. Bless now decisions in people's hearts, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.